was to commence this evening with hymn 769. 769. Jesus, o'er the billows steer me, be my pilot in each storm. Hold me fast and keep me near thee, for thou knowest I'm but a worm. What concerns me by thy power and love performed? Hymn 769.
Jesus, grant us all. help us to read two portions from his holy word. Firstly, from the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, part of chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, commencing at verse 16. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offences, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timotheus, my workfellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. The first epistle of John, chapter 3. The first epistle of John, chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us each prayer. O Lord God Almighty, help us with reverence and godly fear by thy Holy Spirit to draw near to thee in that way wherein alone a sinner may prevail with thee. In the name of thy dear Son, didst thou not say, Lord Jesus, that if we ask anything in thy name, that thou wilt do it? Oh, help us then to ask in thy name. We thank thee for that name. May that word be fulfilled even now, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. With us, Lord, that are in earth, Lord, it is truly done in heaven. Oh, we pray, may it be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Oh, may we bow at thy feet, Lord, even now, ascribing the glory to thee, realizing by faith that thou art King of kings and Lord of lords, that thou hast won that victory over sin, death, hell and the grave, and art ascended on thy Father's right hand and sat down there, ever living to make intercession, expecting till thine enemies be made thy footstool. O Lord, and We do pray that in this time of grace in which we are found, in this time when thou mayest be found, we may be given, each one of us, the heart to seek after thee, to feel after thee, if haply we might find thee. For he that findeth thee findeth life, and shall obtain favour of the Lord. And that is what we would obtain, Lord, the favour of our salvation, the favour of the forgiveness of our sins, the favour of the gift of the Spirit to set us at liberty, by revealing the Son who alone can make us free. Oh, free us, Lord, from the guilt and the power of sin, from the unwearied attentions of the adversary, from the fear of man which bringeth a snare. Free us from unbelief, Lord, from the power of our lusts, from the pride of our hearts, Lord, from the rebellion of our poor, sinful, fallen natures. And free us, Lord, from all the things that bind us. Oh, how often we have to confess with the psalmist, my soul cleaveth to the dust. But we would pray with him also, quicken thou me, according to thy word, may it be done this evening. May we truly be quickened by thy word, Lord. It must be spoken by thee to have its quickening power. The letter killeth, the Spirit giveth life. Oh, we pray, Lord, speak to us with the power of the Spirit. Lord, the Spirit quickeneth. Lord, the words thou dost speak unto thy people, they are Spirit and they are life. Oh, may we hear that voice. Some of us hope we have heard it. But Lord, we have so often wandered. We got far off so many times, and perhaps there are those here this evening in that condition. Lord, oh, we would be near thy feet at thy wounded side. If you allow thy heart to speak and see its purple tide, view all the wonders of thy death and sing thy love in every breath. And Lord, we can't bring ourselves there. We plead that thou wouldst bring us there. Thou wouldst draw us, Lord. Draw us and we will run after thee. Help one to speak thy word faithfully. Oh, do grant the inpouring and the outpouring. Do grant the giving of a door of utterance. Lord, keep me from saying anything I shouldn't. Lord, keep me from holding back anything I should say. And Lord, help the people to hear. Lord, we're on the borders of eternity. As soon as we begin to live, we all begin to die. The old must die, the young may. Oh Lord, impress this on us every day. Lord, let us not boast of tomorrow. With us there may not be one. But Lord, there will be eternity. Oh, prepare us for it. Make us right, Lord, and keep us right. Lord, oh, in mercy, burn up that which is false. Thy servant Paul said the fire should try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work shall suffer loss, he shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Oh, do not let us die with a religion of wood, hay and stubble. Oh, Lord, burn that up, we pray. We confess we've got a lot of it about us. Wood, hay and stubble, Lord. Not the work of thy Spirit, nor Jesus Christ, made known by thy Spirit. Lord, burn that up, that we might have that gold. Jesus Christ, made known by the blessed Spirit of truth, as our Saviour. Lord, speak to us. Be not silent to us, lest if thou be silent to us, We become like them that go down into the pit. Lord, thou knowest those here this evening, and with the hymn writer, they really mean it. I long to hear thy pardoning voice. Oh, may such hear it. May the guilty sinner that has come in here this evening go away a forgiven sinner. Lord, a praising sinner, a wondering sinner. Lord, a new creature. Oh, it's possible, Lord. Oh, we pray it may be done. If it is thy holy will, thy appointed time. But Lord, may there be something done. Some good work. The beginning of it or the carrying on of it. The keeping alive of the flame thou hast kindled. Thou hast lit in a sinner's heart by the new birth. And Lord, be the remembrance of blessed spirit to our souls of all things whatsoever thou hast said unto us. We thank thee, Lord, where any of us have those things that thou hast said unto us in days past. And we confess how ready we are to forget them. Lord, how ready the devil is, and our unbelieving heart joins with him in questioning them. Lord, we pray, come and confirm it, renew it, that all the questioning may be put out of question by thee. Lord, help those who do have questions to bring them to the heavenly Solomon. We read of the Queen of Sheba, she brought all her hard questions to Solomon, and he answered them all. O Lord, and a greater than Solomon is here. O make us feel tonight thou art here, thy presence, gracious God, afford. Prepare our hearts to receive thy word. And Lord, may we be favour to go on our way with that awe on our spirit that the Lord God Almighty has come down in his spirit and dwelt among us. Bless this people. Help them, Lord, at this time. Thou knowest the trial that they have come into regarding the work on this building. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst appear. Lord, give the people that faith thou didst give Abraham. My son, God will provide a lamb for burnt offering, and he that spared not his own son, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? May it truly work together for good. Lord, what a trial came upon thy dear servant Hezekiah. But it was through that trial, Lord, in that exercise of thy spirit, in bringing him to turn his face to the wall and cry unto thee, those tears he shed, and that grief and those fears he had, and Lord, thy appearing unto him, he could say, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Lord, may it be so concerning the all things in each of our lives at this time. Lord, to bring us to Christ as a penitent, hell-deserving wretch. For Lord, if thou shouldst mark iniquity, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. Thou mayest be feared. Let thy work appear here, Lord, above all else in the salvation of sinners, the glorifying of thy name, in the fruitfulness of thy vineyard. And Lord, surely, where thou hast a purpose of this, thou wilt take care of the building. Lord, we pray then, do appear. Make bare thine arm and come and save us. The people's case is an urgent, pressing one. May it be so individually in them. Oh, may there be many a petition go up, as we believe there have been already. And Lord, help them to keep praying till the answer comes. We do beseech thee, and then give thee all the glory when that answer does come. And Lord, we pray for any in affliction. Many of thy people are afflicted. We hear again of thy dear servant, the chairman of this church here, unable to come into these parts because of thy afflicting hand. Oh, we pray affectionately for him, that thou wouldst be with him and his dear one at this time. Thou wouldst hold them up. Thou wouldst comfort them with a word from thine own mouth and thine own felt presence. And we plead with thee, would it please thee to spare him and make a way whereby his condition may be relieved, if it is thy holy will. Do give wisdom to the consultants and all those that are attending to his case. And others, Lord, we think of the nearby pastor, and others, Lord, thine aged servants, greatly weakened. May, Lord, do help them, bless them, and whoever it is thy will, spare them and enable them to return to their labours, Lord, continue in them. And we do beseech thee to raise up and send forth able ministers of the New Testament, of the spirit and not of the letter. Have pity on our country. Have pity on the church of God in this country. Forsake us not. Build us again. Recover us from our low estate. Restrain the evil. Appear in the world, Lord. We beseech thee in thy mercy and compassion unto thy people. Make wars to cease. And do, Lord, avenge thine own elect, who cry day and night unto thee. Oh, may a wrestling spirit of prayer be given to Zion concerning those many things we have need to pray about. Lord, we cannot pray at all without thy enabling. Help us, Lord, to make an attempt, depending on thee to enable us. Lord, we do beseech thee. Lord, forsake us not. Take not thy Holy Spirit altogether from us, but pour him out, we pray, upon us, that the wilderness may rejoice and blossom as the rose, the truth and righteousness and peace may be granted unto thy people. Forgive all we ask amiss, where we fail to make up in given. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Sing hymn number 676. Oh, could I lift this heart of mine above these creature things, I'd fly and leave this world below as though on eagle's wings. Hymn 676.
Oh,
dependence on the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 16. The first clause in verse 20. Romans chapter 16, verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Has the Lord made his shells and wills precious to you? Have you proved his faithfulness to fulfill them in a measure thus far? And will he not therefore go on until every one of his shells and wills concerning your soul, child of God, have been fulfilled? This is surely the thing that the Lord's people are made seekers after all their days. The apostle said, didn't he, write into the Philippians when he was near the end of his days, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are before, behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. How did he know there were things before? God had told him. God had given him his shells and his wills. And you know, it will be only when the child of God is landed safely in heaven that this text will be completely, blessedly fulfilled, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The God of peace. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. One God of peace. There is not war in any one of those three persons. Only against sin. That's the only thing that God hates. A wonder of wonders, he so loves his people, was so determined to save them, that he sent his dear Son, whom the Word of God names as the Prince of Peace, to bring men into peace with God by bruising Satan's head. According to the first promise that was given to our first parents, Adam and Eve, when God spoke to Satan, the serpent, in the garden, the seed of the woman shall bruise his head. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Satan, the devil, that fallen angel. The Lord Jesus said, didn't he? I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. We have that record in the Revelation of his casting out from heaven unto this earth. And there was that woe pronounced upon the earth, wasn't there? Because Satan, that fallen angel, that liar from the beginning, had been cast out into this earth. And he goeth up and down in this world, seeking whom he may devour. He is truly Antichrist. It is Christ, and of course with Christ, his Father, and with the Spirit, it is with God that Satan is at war. And therefore those who are God's people, those who are quickened by God's Spirit, those who are led of God's Spirit, they are the ones whom the devil bruises, wounds, afflicts, troubles, resists, hinders. He doesn't mind people sitting in chapels, listening to sermons. He doesn't mind people making a profession of religion. But as soon as he sees someone really seeking after God, as soon as he sees someone in concern over their soul, someone beginning to be troubled over their soul and over eternity, as soon as he sees one coming into the house of God, like we read of in the book of Job, the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came amongst them. Again in Zechariah chapter 3, I think we've considered it among you here not all that long ago. Joshua the high priest, when he came to stand before the Lord, Satan stood at his right hand to resist him. And what do the Lord's people prove? In themselves they cannot overcome Satan. He is too strong for them. Why, when he came against their first parents, who were created in the image of God, who were innocent, they were no match for him. He was too strong for them. He could get in. He got in as he always does with his deceitful guile. First asking the question, hath God said? Then going on, having got thus far, to begin to make Eve question what he'd said. Then to deny that God had spoken the truth. Oh, my dear friend, how much more are we fallen sinners, vulnerable, weak, unable to defend ourselves, unable to stand against the devil? Then what a blessed shall and will there is in this text. And unless you know the negative side of things, my dear friend, the positive side of things will mean nothing to you. When Jesus was asked when his disciples were asked why he ate with publicans and sinners, he said, they that are whole need not a physician. We could put it in the context of this text. They who are not troubled with Satan don't need Christ. They who can or think they can resist the temptations, they who think they can just cast off any doubts and fears that may momentarily come into their mind. Those that think they can, with their own endeavours, serve God. Those who think they can, by their own works and their own will, save themselves. These shells and wills of Jehovah mean nothing to them. But as I began this evening, if you're in this place and Satan is troubling you, whether it be through what he did in the fall, causing you to be a fallen sinner, or what he is doing now in your life by tempting you, trying you, troubling you, coming as a roaring lion or as an angel of light. These shells and wills of Jehovah, they are your only hope. They are your only hope. And you really need the Lord to fulfill this word for you. You really need Christ. You really need the Holy Spirit. You really need the love of the Father. You need the Father to send the Holy Spirit in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And you need the Lord Jesus Christ to come and preach to your soul in such a way as Satan will be bruised under your feet. The sure ground of the bruising of Satan, then, I've already mentioned it with regard to that first promise, the seed of the woman shall bruise Satan's head. It's Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the eternal Father, who to bruise Satan's head was made man. We read of it, didn't we? That's really why I read that chapter in John, 1 John 3. For this cause was the Son of God manifested. God manifest in the flesh. The man Christ Jesus. That he should destroy the works of the devil. We have a similar word in Hebrews chapter 2. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he should destroy him that had the power of death, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. How did the Lord Jesus Christ bruise Satan's head? Firstly, in that same nature, the nature of man, that Satan had slain, really, in tempting them into sin, in that same nature, Christ kept the law of God without blemish, without spot. You see, the man Christ Jesus was made under the law, just as Adam was made under the law. The law that was given to Adam was a very simple single command, but really everything was in it. You may eat of the fruit of every tree except that one tree. In the day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. And so, as Paul says, by the Spirit, God sent forth his Son made of a woman, made under the law. And Jesus Christ bruised Satan's head by fulfilling that law. He did not break his Father's command. But the wonder is, as the Son of God, that obedience which he rendered not only was perfect, holy, spiritual, infinite, but it was imputable to a number that no man can number, to every one of these whom his Father had given unto him. But this bruising of Satan's head continued. There was blow after blow to Satan. Every moment the Lord Jesus Christ lived, Satan was being
bruised. Every second, the Lord Jesus Christ lived that holy life. But then after his baptism, and of course that baptism set forth what he was to go through and what he was to come up out of. He was to go through sufferings and through death and come up out of the grave. But after he had been baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove, and his Father had said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," then was he led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days and 40 nights. How many of the Lord's people have been called to follow the Lord in that way in some tiny measure after their baptism? And what a consolation it has been when the Holy Ghost has reminded them that they are partakers in Christ's sufferings. But you see, the point was, when the Lord Jesus was tempted, those temptations, though he felt them, though it was suffering when he was being tempted, he did not give a moment's regard to the lies that Satan was saying. He stood against the devil with almighty power. And the hymn writer sums it up, doesn't he? And you see, but we, my dear friend, you know, we know the hymns, don't we? But what a blessed thing when we know them in blessed experience. The hymn I was going to quote was this: "Here's our point of rest." When is it? When we just read the hymn or when we just sing the hymn? No, when the Holy Ghost takes the truth that is in the line of that hymn and drops in into our heart with power and authority and unction. Our captain stood the fiery test. We shall stand through him. You see, I've no doubt that many people have sung that hymn. They don't know anything about Satan's trouble. They don't know anything about Satan's temptation. And so they can sing it. And it doesn't matter what day of the year it is, they'll sing it the same. But that poor soul that's in real soul anguish, because it seems as though the devil has got hold of them, He is tempting them about the Word of God. He's tempting them about Christ. He's tempting them about the work of the Spirit in their own soul. Now, doesn't that one want rest? They do want rest. And can they get rest just by reading the line of that hymn? No, they can't. They need a real Saviour. They need a real Comforter. They need the real application of the Word of God to their soul. But the bruising of Satan wasn't finished yet. The thing that really bruised Satan's head, I mean, we could speak of many things. We could fill the whole time with speaking of how Christ bruised Satan's head in every miracle which he did, in every word which he spoke to his people. You think of that woman of Canaan. Oh, what a poor bruised woman she was, but how Christ bruised Satan's head for her. "Be it unto thee," he said, "even as thou wilt." And the devil was cast out of her daughter in that very hour. But what I was coming to was this: it was the sufferings and the death of Christ and his resurrection and his ascension into heaven that truly bruised Satan's head. Because, you see, we've spoken of how Christ fulfilled the law in his life. We've spoken of how he stood against the devil. It's spoken of how he performed those miracles, how he cast out devils. But that wasn't enough, was it? What about all that vast catalogue of sin that the people had committed? If that isn't put away, if justice isn't satisfied concerning those sins, Satan can still be the accuser of the sinner. Before God, we read, don't we, in that chapter in Revelation, the rejoicing in heaven because the accuser of the brethren is cast out. And what cast him out? The blood of Jesus Christ. They overcame him, we read, through the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. When the dear Son of God willingly was led as a lamb to the slaughter, bearing the sins that Satan had led the people of God into, through that original sin, and through those temptations, through that blinding of Satan, and all those, that power which he has over men. The dear Lord Jesus, as the hymn writer said, he took all his people's transgressions and made them his own. He's willingly pierced by the sword of divine justice. This is surely the bruising of the Lord's heel. As God told Adam and Eve when he spoke to the serpent, yes, the seed of the woman would bruise serpent's head, but he would bruise his heel. He was wounded and bruised. The bruising of his sacred holy body and of his holy soul, those sufferings in the garden, in the judgment hall, and on Calvary's cross. Well, you see, the sacrifice is a perfect one. The sufferer is none less than God incarnate. The blood that is shed has nothing less than the infinite power of God in it. And this bruises Satan's head. When the Son of God himself dies, and to die he must take that sacred humanity. The person that died was the Son of God. Oh, Satan has no answer to that. Christ has done it out of love to his people. He's done it freely, he's done it fully. He's done it willingly, he's done it forever. He's blotted out his people's sins as a thick cloud forever. And to prove this, he comes forth from the tomb. Each of the three persons of the Trinity, we read in the Word of God, were involved in that resurrection of Jesus Christ. Quickened by the Spirit, he raised himself, and his Father raised him, the Scriptures say. And after 40 days, he ascends into heaven. Sits on the right hand of God, a victorious king. He has conquered every foe. And you see, concerning every one of those foes, Satan is behind everyone. Until Satan came, there was no sin. There was no warfare between man and God. Until Satan came and brought sin, there was no death. There was no need of hell. The blessed seed of the woman has come, and he has put away sin. He has vanquished death, which is the fruit of sin. He has made a way for sinners to heaven that deserve to go to hell. Now, the vital thing for you and me is to know this was all done for us. And that's what our text means. The God of peace, the one who sent his Son to make peace, because from all eternity, in God's mind, there was nothing but peace toward his people. So what was the cause of the warfare? What was the cause of the conflict? The cause of the conflict was in the people, through Satan's influence upon them. The God of peace. And he sends his Son for the people whom he has chosen, for the people whom he has loved with an everlasting love. He sent his Son. Now am I, are you among that people? If we are, this word is spoken to us. It will come to us with power. We shall be given faith to believe it, and we shall be led in that way in which it will be fulfilled. And the God of peace will do it. As we've already said, we're not going to do it. We cannot do it. We cannot do it. What was the testimony that Jonah came up out of the belly of the fish with? He didn't come up saying salvation is of men, did he? He came up with this testimony: salvation is of the Lord. The whole of it. You sung in that beautiful hymn just now. The Lord will teach his people this lesson well. It is not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. The God of peace. Why should he be at peace with you? Only because of his election of you, child of God, his choice of you, his purpose to be glorified in you. How shall he be at peace with you? How shall he bring you to be at peace with him? He sends his Son and he sends his Spirit. The God of peace. Yes, Jesus is rightly named the Prince of Peace. But what did Jesus say to his disciples just before his sufferings and his being taken from them into glory? It is expedient for you that I go away. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. It is expedient for you that I go away, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And if you know my the child of God, you know this evening the difference between remembering things with your own memory and being reminded of things by the Holy Ghost is the difference between hell and heaven. The difference between sin and salvation is the difference between being lost and being saved. The flesh profiteth nothing. Your memory of the flesh profits you nothing. Your understanding of the Word of God in the flesh profits you nothing. But what the Holy Ghost reminds you of and what the Holy Ghost teaches you, that's salvation. That's salvation. This is what the apostle by the Spirit is writing to the Romans here. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. You see, Christ's victory had been won. At this time, it was in the early history of the New Testament church. But Christ was now seated in glory, the victory was won. But the Lord's people had to be made partakers of it. And my dear friend, the Word of God tells us from Genesis to Revelation that the Lord leads his people in a way wherein they come to know him. And that's what is set forth in this text. Because the promise is that God will bruise Satan under your feet. Now when for this to be fulfilled, God must be leading you. You'll never bruise Satan under your feet when you're walking in your own paths. What I'm speaking of is the blessed victory over Satan. We know that the Lord meets his people when they were walking in their own paths. And he calls them by his invincible grace when they are in the midst of the broad way that leadeth to destruction. But that isn't the bruising of Satan's head that our text is speaking of. The bruising of Satan's head is when, child of God, you receive the remission of your sins and the assurance that you have a part and lot in the finished work of Jesus Christ. When that which Satan is holding you in, he cannot hold you in it any longer. The unbelief he's holding you in, he can't hold you in it any longer. This snare, this sin, this besetting sin which is continually holding you in, when the Lord bruises Satan's head, he can't hold you in it any longer. These fears that you have, when the Lord bruises Satan's head, you're freed from those fears. But does that mean the way from then on is completely free of the need of this fulfillment of this word anymore? Was it so with Christ? It's so significant, isn't it, what the Holy Ghost records. My dear friend, have you got in your soul's experience a few things that the Holy Spirit has pointed out to you in his word? You perhaps had never looked at those words before. And then when you're in need of them, the Holy Ghost, either in reading or directly bringing them into your mind or through the preaching of the word, and that word is so blessed to your soul. The word I was going to quote was this: the devil departed from him for a season. Now, if that happened to Jesus Christ, must not his people expect the same thing? Yes, they must. And I'll go even further than that. If they don't have the same thing, there's something needs looking into. If you think you've got out of reach of Satan before you're landed in heaven, be careful, my dear friend, as to where you really are. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Under your feet. A path is to be walked in which Satan, his head will be bruised. It will only be bruised through you being led by the Lord in that path. That, as far as I am shown it, is what the text means. The Spirit is the leader of his people in this path. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see, Satan is so crafty. Does the Holy Spirit open up to you the craft of Satan in league with your wicked heart? And you tremble. And you see, my dear friend, the Lord overrules this. Do you come to the point where you have to say, well, the devil is so crafty and my deceitful heart is so deceitful, I've come to the end of trying to discern whether I'm right or not. The truth is, you can't discern whether you're right or not. And neither can anyone else, but God can. I'm speaking of this way, aren't I? As many as are led by the Spirit of God. I thought of that word in Job. The Holy Ghost calls the servant of the Lord to use an underground passage, a mine, where the gold and the silver are mined. As an illustration, there is a path which no fowl knoweth. The vulture's eye hath not seen, the lion's whelp hath not trodden it. But there is found the gold and the silver. What a beautiful illustration. A path that cannot be spotted or found out by the keenest professor of religion, the vulture's eye. The lion's whelps haven't trodden it. Oh, it isn't something that a strong person can walk in. It isn't something in which there is that ravenous beast. It's that path that the Spirit leads the sinner in. What are these steps that the Lord causes that sinner to take? Under their feet, in these steps, God will bruise Satan's head. Well, it must be following the Lord, mustn't it? The path of following the Lord. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That sorrow for sin, that sorrow over your soul, that sorrow for grieving God, that grief over your lost condition, You think, my dear friend, when the Saviour was suffering, he was suffering the sins of people which had never yet been born. He was suffering the sins of people who had never yet felt that sorrow themselves. His people follow him in that path. I spoke earlier of Jonah, didn't I? In his measure, Jonah was following Christ in the belly of that great fish. Cast out of God's sight. Earth with her bars about me forever. I was reading yesterday evening in the Gospel, one of the old Gospel standards, the obituary of a godly woman. And on her deathbed, oh, the Lord burnt up so much of her religion. She said to one who was standing by her, "I am shown how many false evidences the Lord's people may cling to. But when you come here, that is when you learn what real religion is." Now, she was treading this path in which all her fleshly religion was being burnt up. And someone said to her, "Do you have nothing then that the Lord has done for you?" She said, "I hope I have one or two things. There is my hope. That God who spoke those words to me." And what was she praying for? That he would speak again, that he would appear unto her again. She was treading the path of real prayer because of real necessity. She was faced with death. Jonah was faced with death. He said, "The earth with her bars was about me forever." He was realizing the real consequences of his sin. "I am cast out of thy sight." When my soul fainted within me, he was walking this path. I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto him, even into his holy temple. He was walking this path. And didn't the Lord bruise Satan's head under his feet? The Spirit led him in true heartfelt realization of his sin, in true heartfelt confession, and in true supplication to Almighty God. We mentioned just earlier, didn't we, just one or two of those cases wherein the Lord bruised Satan's head. And what do we find in each of those cases? The steps they were taking, the path they were taking, in which they proved this text fulfilled, was in coming to Jesus. It is significant that in the previous verse, Paul can say in his letter to these Romans, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men." So he knew that the feet of those Romans were not walking in disobedience. They were walking in the path of obedience. They couldn't do that to themselves. It was the gracious gift of God. As we've said a number of times already, they were being led by the Spirit, but it was a path of obedience. And what did John say in that other chapter we read?
How did he emphasize the path of obedience? He said, this is his commandment, that ye believe on his Son. Now perhaps someone here says this evening, oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. What you mean is, oh, could I but have that measure of faith by which I should get the victory. Oh, that I could have but that measure of faith by which I should know that Jesus died for my sins. But there is a lesser measure of faith that is still obedience. And what is it? Well, you see it in the leper. A certain leper, full of leprosy, came unto Jesus saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst. He was walking in obedience. Because by the Holy Spirit, he was enabled to obey that commandment. This is his commandment, that you believe on his Son. And you see, this is the difference. And when there is this real faith, that leper, he wasn't looking anywhere else for the cleansing of his leprosy. He wasn't putting his trust in anyone else except the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no hope of being saved from his leprosy. And more than that, we believe, is the salvation of his soul. He had no other hope but in Jesus Christ. But then, you see, it wasn't a half-hearted hope, was it? It wasn't a half-hearted coming. The leper didn't have his feet in two camps. He didn't have his feet, he didn't have one foot in the narrow way and one foot in the broad way. Child of God, whenever you have known God to bruise Satan under your feet, you know, you can't deny it. It's when the Lord has made you really needing Christ, and he has fixed your soul's eye on him, and you haven't been able to let him go. He says, doesn't he, in Jeremiah, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. What I just said, it seems to need some unfolding a little. To explain a little what it means to have one foot in the narrow way and one in the broad. Of course, neither of the feet are in the narrow way, really. But it's when you profess to have your trust in the Lord, but really you're trusting in yourself or in some other creature. Or really, when you're professing to trust only in the merit of Jesus Christ, but you can't walk in that way when you feel to have been such a failure. It proves the way you're really in. Because in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one that can walk in that way, and the only one, therefore, whoever has Satan bruised under their feet by God is the wretched, undone sinner who hasn't got anything of their own to plead, who can't do one single part of the work, who hasn't got anything good to bring to God. Blessed be his dear name. God is the God of peace, and he doesn't leave the peacemaking to poor men.
He appointed his son as the peacemaker, and his son has made it. You cannot make it. If you ever have it, God gives it to you. If you ever feel it in your heart, the Holy Ghost puts it there.
The God of peace shall bruise Satan shortly under your feet. This word shortly, undoubtedly, the Holy Ghost gave the apostle this word because he knew that he was going to appear for these Romans very shortly. But, you know, really, it's a word for every child of God in this path that we are trying to consider this evening. There will be, at least in some measure, some bruising of Satan's head to everyone who looks to Christ. Those serpent-bitten Israelites, they didn't have to wait a moment after they had looked upon the serpent of brass. Jesus says, ask, and it shall be given thee. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. He bruises Satan then, when he speaks into our heart. What a word is that, the word of the Lord. When what Satan has said to you, or what he has done to you, is completely reversed, completely overcome by the Lord's speaking. Joshua the high priest, the Lord said, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Isn't this a brand plucked from the burning? Oh, what a bruising of Satan under your feet. When you get an answer to your poor petitions, my dear friend, and it's an answer of peace. When those sins that Satan can so effectively point out to you, how can you be a child of God when you're like this? Well, there's only one way of being a child of God. That's being made one by God. We can't make ourselves one. But if God comes and tells you, thou art my son, thou art my daughter, Satan is bruised under your feet. But the path you've had to take is to go to the Lord and tell him what Satan has said and ask the Lord for his mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know, Lord, that I myself am so ungodly. I beseech thee, could it please thee, to make it known that I am thy child. Look how dead you are. Lord, let my soul live. And when he by his word or by his influence quickens your soul with divine life, Satan is bruised under your feet. When you've sorely fallen, David did, didn't he?
Did the Lord bruise Satan's head under his feet when he was walking in sin? Did he bruise Satan's head under his feet when he was justifying himself as the parable of Nathan is being put before him? No. God brings him to walk in the path in which Satan's head will be bruised. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. You see, my dear friend, the bruising is entirely by the Saviour of sinners. It's entirely of the grace of God. When a poor sinner, by the grace of God, is praying from his heart, have mercy on me, O Lord, according to the multitude of thy loving kindnesses, blot out my transgressions. Satan is defeated. All the while you are looking to yourself, all the while you're expecting God to receive you on the ground of this or that or the other about you, he cannot bruise Satan under your feet. But David said in Psalm 23, didn't he? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. I've put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Just comes to me the path of the Lord's people have to tread. The situation you find yourself here as a people with regard to the building. There are those questions that arise, aren't there? Why is it? And no doubt some of you, perhaps all of you, have suffered from the sneering of Satan. Where is now thy God? But if the Lord in his mercy bring you on your knees before him and enable you to pray, surely this word will be fulfilled. And then you'll see that it was good that the Lord did this. If the work had gone on as you hoped it would, commencing on Monday, would there have been the prayer that there has been in this path that your feet have had to take already? How long it may be before the Lord appears, I don't know. But he will. Of that there is no doubt. The psalmist said, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. John said, didn't he, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Man's extremity, said one man, is God's opportunity. That's how you've been saved, child of God, isn't it? And you've been brought into these situations again and again and again. And the last one will be the greatest of them all. You see, unless we are here on the earth when the Lord comes a second time, our feet will have to go down into Jordan, the Jordan of death. It has to be walked out. Joshua said to the people, didn't he, you've not walked this way heretofore. And you're walking this path as a church and congregation, aren't you, at this time? But I often think of that word in Jeremiah,
If thou hast run with a footman and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with horses? If in this land wherein thou hast peace, thou hast troubled, how will it be with thee in the swellings of Jordan? But I like to look at it also on the positive side. Surely that's what the Lord also meant in it. If the Lord has appeared for you. So when you ran with the horseman, he strengthened you, he appeared for you. You didn't run in the with the horseman in your own strength and by your own endeavours. You found it too much for you, but you lift up your eyes unto God in the heaven, and he appeared for you, and he delivered you. And then you were brought into a greater trouble, and what you'd learnt in the past one, he reminds you of it. Then what is the answer to the question? How will it be with you in the swellings of Jordan? His love in time past forbids me to think. He'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to help me quite through. But what does that mean? It's not going to be easy to die unless the Lord makes it easy. And he can. That woman I was speaking of earlier, the Lord so blessedly appeared for her. She could die rejoicing in her Saviour. How did she come to that path? How did she come to that blessing? She had to walk the path of being emptied, crying to him in whom is all fullness, and him pouring it out of that fullness into her heart. The whole text speaks of what God is going to do. And he will do it. Amen.
Lord's Day, there will be a prayer meeting at 9 o'clock for the nation from the Sir John Rose Everton expected to preach. This will be, of course, at the school. Let us close with hymn 626. 626. Sinners who on Jesus rest must eternally be blessed. All Jehovah's love can give, they from Jesus shall receive. Hymn 626.
Thank you.
thank thee for thy word, the certainty of thy promises, the certainty of the victory. Oh, lead us in that path. Blessed Spirit, lead us daily unto Christ. Oh, help us. Make us a prevailing Israel, to prevail with God and with man. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, pardon all that has been amiss. Grant safe journeys to us each. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.